kids like you, maker of heaven, Lord of the land and Lord of the sea, holy and true, faithful and able, Lord of all time and eternity.
Hello, dear precious child of God. God bless you. We are now at week 10 at the School of Grace, and I trust that the Lord is using the School of Grace to build you up and to strengthen you in the things of God. Listen, my dear friend and brother or sister, God has ordained that you, as a child of God, you walk in victory. The key to it is grace. Grace that is holistic and grace that abounds until it rains. Remember that we have seen that the word of God promised us in Romans chapter 5 verse 17 that those who receive abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness, they will reign in life. They will reign in life. This is the promise of a God that cannot lie. But that promise does not work automatically. It works as we follow the principles outlined for us in the Word of God. And that means that grace has to abound before it will reign. After we have received the gift of righteousness, we stand in grace. We are introduced into a kingdom of grace, and we are given access into grace. You see, we are saved by grace. And the plan of God is that the same grace by which we are saved will become the grace by which we live and which we walk in power and triumphant Christian living. But you see, that grace now, we have to take it. Do you know that the grace by which we are saved was not passive grace? It's not like the rain that falls on everybody. It was grace that is made available to us by the Lord, but which we had to take by faith, by coming to the Lord Jesus Christ and appropriating, that's the word, appropriating what Jesus has done for us. That's how we received the grace that brought us salvation. And it is in the same way that we are to continually appropriate the grace by which we are to reign in life. And for us to do that effectively, we must go to the sources of grace. That's why we spent time in the preceding weeks to look at those sources of grace. And we saw that you have to tap grace from the boundless abundance that is found in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And now in week 10, we have come to a vital point in our quest for grace, especially the triumphant grace that makes the victorious life possible. And that is the need to grow in grace. You see, it is by growing in grace that grace abounds. I said it is by growing in grace that grace abounds. You see, nothing abounds until it grows. Nothing abounds until it grows. Everything has to grow before it can increase and multiply and then abound. And then when it abounds, it now begins to impact its environment and to exercise its authority in that sphere where it is abounding. Now, there's a scripture I'd like to read, and I'll read that scripture, and then we will look some at the context of that scripture, because I believe it's so important. And the scripture is 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18. And it says, "But grow in grace, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and forever. Amen." It says, "But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and forever. Amen." Now, you know, the context of this instruction is very important. And It's as if, you see, God is so gracious. God is the only wise God. And because of his omniscience, knowing all things ahead, he prepares his people. He gives us the requisite roadmap and the tools that we need to navigate every season. 2 Peter chapter 3, actually much of 2 Peter is talking about the end times. And chapter 3 especially focuses on the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, the coming of Christ, and the things that will happen, immediately preceding his coming. He spoke about mockers that are going to come, scoffers who are going to come in the last days, walking according to their own lusts. And then look what they will be saying in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 4. They say, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. But you see, these people, they forget a lot of things. They forget that the word that God spoke before has come to pass, and that the same word now reserves the world that we see now for fire, and guarantees that the day of the Lord will certainly come like a thief in the night. And he says, in that day of the Lord, the heavens will pass away with a great noise. The elements will melt with fervent heat, and both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. And in verse 11 now, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 11, we are now told, he said, therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Then he says in verse 13, nevertheless, we, according to his promise, we look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. So the instruction and the conversation continued in verse 14. He says, therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, seeing that you are looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by him, by the Lord, upon his return, in peace, without spot and blameless. And then he spoke about Paul and the, scriptures written by Paul, and how some people twist these scriptures. And then in verse 17, we are told, you therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked. That's not the plan of God. But now look at the final verse of 2 Peter chapter 3. And it says in verse 18, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So you see, the reason for this context is that grace is the antidote for the end times. Grace is the key for triumphant end time living. What the apostle by the Holy Spirit is establishing in this passage of scripture is the word of wisdom to the people of God living in the end times. You see, he's talking about the end, the promise of his coming, Christ's return. He's talking about the scoffers and the apostates that are mocking the fact that Jesus is coming again. And then he's telling us that everything is going to be dissolved. The earth is going to melt with fire. And he's telling us that the day of the Lord is coming, and that with the Lord, one day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like one day. And he's telling us all of these things about the end times. And then at the end of it, he now gives us the key for end time living. He said, in the midst of the chaos, in the midst of the signs of the times, in the midst of all the mockers and scoffers and all the backsliding and all the different things that are going on, he says, grow in grace. Just keep growing in grace. The reason is because if you keep growing in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, you will reign in life, even in the end times, even with the chaos and the confusion. See, grace is the master key to triumphant living. even in the end times. The reason is because don't forget that we saw that grace is omnipotent benevolence, the kindness of the Almighty. Imagine that as the earth is shaking, the nations are in turmoil, the signs of the times are multiplied, and you know, the revelation of the Antichrist and his crowd is drawing nearer, and you can see the changes taking place in our world. Fear entering into the hearts of people. The Bible says people's hearts will be failing them because of fear as they look at the things that are coming upon the earth. So in the midst of all of these changes and all the shakings and all the turmoil, what are we supposed to do as children of God? He says, grow in grace, grow in grace, grow, grow in grace, grow in the levels of grace that you experience. You remember that we saw that there are levels of grace. There are levels of grace. An ordinary level grace cannot confront end time challenges. I said, regular, ordinary level grace. You are born again, praise the Lord. Your sins have been forgiven you, thank God. And then you are just existing like that. You go to church once a week. You read the Bible occasionally. That kind of level of grace will not be able to, you know, bring triumphant living in the end times. But if you grow in grace, you can have an untroubled heart in a troubled world. I said, if you grow in grace, you can have an untroubled heart in a troubled world. Why is that so? Because Jesus, the one that prevailed, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, he himself, the King of grace, is living inside you. And you are in fellowship with him. You are lambanoing. You are taking. You are receiving. Out of his fullness, out of his abundance, you are receiving grace upon grace upon grace upon grace. Grace, as iniquity is abounding, grace is abounding in your spirit, and you are living a holy life. As you know, lack is abounding because you are a resident at the throne of grace. You are continually taking, lambanoing, receiving the grace that you need. Mercy in the time of need. You are receiving answers to prayer. Do you know that the answers to prayer you receive from the throne of grace will more than counterbalance and counteract whatever the devil does in this end time? There is nothing the devil is doing right now that will harass the person that continues to download grace. Oh, the grace of God will be sufficient for you. Satan will rage. Reigning in life does not mean that there will be no problems or no challenges. But here is the matter. Grace will overwhelm those challenges. Grace will be multiplied to you. When the enemy is throwing fiery darts, it will be like water falling off the feathers of a duck. The reason is because you have grace. You are collecting supernatural ability to face life. You're not facing life with the paucity and the poverty of the little level of grace that you have found. You are collecting an abundance of grace out of the sources of grace. You are tapping what is needed to face what is facing you in life. Grace is the key to triumphant end-time living. And that's why we are instructed, grow in grace. Grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, for you to really understand, you know, how to grow in grace, you need to understand, you know, some about growth itself. Growth is powerful. Growth. Oh, growth is powerful. And what I'm going to do is I've provided two teachings. One of them is called the power of growth. And then the second one is principles of growth. And I will be posting them along with the notes, in this school of grace so that you can study growth. Look, growth is powerful. Nothing can keep a growing something down permanently. Nothing can keep a growing something down permanently. And when I say nothing, I mean nothing. Anything that grows has a future. Anything that doesn't doesn't. I said, anything that grows has a future. Anything that does not grow does not have a future, no matter where it is presently. Growth is powerful, and that's why I'm going to provide these teachings, you know, on the power of growth and the principles of growth, so that you begin to see how growth impacts every area of your life. You see, one of the problems that we have is that the modern church is teaching this instant miracles, instant success, instant favor, as they call it, instant. You know, they say, Joseph, you know, he went from the prison, became prime minister overnight. Who told you that? Stop. Joseph did not become prime minister overnight. This young man was like 17 years old when he was sold and arrived in Egypt. And for 13 solid years, he was growing. He was growing in stature. He was growing in character. He was growing in his ministry of dream interpretation. Look at him when he was in prison. Long before he came to interpret the dream of Pharaoh, he was interpreting dreams in the prison. The man was growing. And by the time he was 30, when opportunity manifested itself, Joseph stood before Pharaoh and he did not fail, because the man had grown and he had grown in character. By the time his brothers arrived, Joseph forgave them. He was not vengeful. There was no vengeance inside the spirit. He had grown. But you see, the church today is teaching favor without process. They are teaching prosperity that has no protocols. No. Every product has a process, and the biblical New Testament process for becoming all that we are supposed to be in Christ is summarized by one word, and that word is growth. Once we are born again as newborn babies, we are told to desire the sincere milk of the word of God, that we may do what? Grow thereby. Grow. So as you keep drinking this milk, which of course is grace, don't forget that the word of God, which is the milk Brother Peter is talking about, and the bread which you are going to eat later, and even the meat, all of these are dimensions of the word of God, which is the word of his grace. So as you feast on the word of his grace and you go beyond tasting, what happens to you? You are growing. And as you continue to grow, you will grow into the stature of Christ. Do you know that once you begin to grow, things that were oversized once upon a time, after some time, they become your size. And then if you continue to grow, after some time, they become undersized. I mean, you've seen children, you know, toddlers, you know, wearing their parents' shoes, their father's shoes especially, you know, and it looks oversized. But if they continue to grow, one day the shoe will be their size. And if they continue to grow, one day that shoe will become undersized. There are many problems that preachers are praying that they will go away instantly. But I want you to listen, child of God. I know some people will not like what I'm teaching, but this is the truth that cannot fail. The solution to the problem is not another prayer by another man of God. The solution to the problem is relentless growth. Non-stop growth. If you begin to grow in grace, and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, suddenly you realize that the things that used to harass you, you are trampling on them. Things that were a temptation have become an irritation to you. The places where you fell, you find yourself soaring on the wings of grace. But this only happens as you grow. Growth is an unbreakable law, protocol of the kingdom of God. Growth was there from the beginning. I'm summarizing this because, like I said, I'm posting the full-length teachings for you on our platform. So growth was there before. Do you know that before sin arrived, the Bible says God planted a garden, Genesis chapter 2, 8 and 9, and the Lord made things to grow. God has power to command the garden into existence. Why did he plant and then make the thing to grow? Some people think that, you know, taking time to grow is a curse. Even the Lord Jesus Christ grew in stature in wisdom, in favor with God and with man. Jesus had to grow, and God planted things and made them grow before the fall, before the curse, telling us that growth is not a curse. So when you look at the notes that I'm going to share, you are going to see all aspects of growth that I've posted, that growth is the secret of becoming what you are supposed to be. It is growth that reveals potential. If you look at a seed, the seed looks dry and ordinary. But if it's an acorn or, you know, one of those other seeds, it will become a massive oak or something else if you plant it and if it grows. So growth is the secret of prevailing. Growth makes you to become all that you are going to be in life. You cannot become the best by living like the rest. Excellence and distinction, they are revealed and manifested by growth. It is as you grow that what is inside begins to come out. Hallelujah. So you are going to see different aspects of growth. I want to encourage you to listen to these detailed teachings that I'm going to post at the School of Grace, all for free. And you're going to see that growth is the secret of breakthrough. It's the secret of entering your inheritance, becoming everything you are supposed to be. It's the secret of fruitfulness. Look at a baby girl that is born, you know, today. She has everything required to be a mother, to be a wife and a mother. But how will they manifest? She has to grow. She has to grow. Do you know that anything that grows is dangerous? When Abraham and Sarah took Hagar, the Egyptian girl from Egypt, she was not a full-fledged woman. She was a maid. She was a young lady. But she kept on growing until one day she became a competition to Sarah herself and to her mistress. Growth. Do you know the Philistines made a bad mistake with Samson? You know the mistake they made? They neglected growth. Oh, they thought that once they have shaved off Samson's head, that is the end of the whole story. Oh, but the Philistines made a bad mistake. They live to regret it. They forgot that what they shaved off can grow. And so after they have shaved off Samson's head, the Bible said the hair of his head began to grow again. The hair began to grow. The connection that Samson had with the covenant began to grow. And the Philistines didn't notice that. I think God blinded their eyes. The hair was growing. If the Philistines realized how powerful growth is, they would have positioned a barber beside Samson to be shaving his head every morning. They wouldn't even wait for one strand to come out. Growth is powerful. And when Samson got the opportunity, he prayed that prayer. And the rest is history. He destroyed those Philistines. Because the hair grew again. So, and by the way, no matter what the enemy has shaved in your life, it will grow back again in the name of Jesus. Just begin to seek God. There is restoration for you, for your family, for your ministry in the name of Jesus Christ. And so I have outlined the power and the principles, the protocols that govern growth. And my hope is that as you engage these truths, you begin to grow in grace. You will begin to lambano, to take, to receive more and more grace, using all those means of grace that we have studied. Fellowshipping with the God of all grace, with the Lord Jesus Christ, the living Word of God, the ocean of grace that is boundless, the word of His grace, the fellowshipping with the Spirit of grace, and fellowshipping with people of grace, going to places of grace, engaging articles of grace, performing acts of grace, all kinds of things. Become systematic in your quest for grace. And I tell you, grace is going to grow until it abounds in your life. And as that happens, you will reign in life, even in these end times. No matter what the enemy will throw at you, as Psalm 46 says, God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in the time of trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth is removed, and though the mountains are cast into the midst of the sea. He said there is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High God. He said, God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her right early. So you see, when we find grace, We are drinking from the river of the Spirit. Hallelujah. And we are flowing with the river. We are fellowshipping with God, our refuge and our strength. I'm telling you, the turmoils of the end times, they will take place. But you will reign in life. You will walk in victory because of an abundance of grace that has come to you from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, thank you for this call to grow in grace. Lord, we receive this instruction. And Lord, we ask that, Father, a baptism for growth. Receive a baptism of zeal to grow. No matter where you are now, there are higher levels in God. Oh, there are yet many possibilities in God. There are greater things in God. Receive an anointing to grow in Jesus' name. I say, receive an anointing to grow in Jesus' name. I impart into you supernaturally by the power of God a zeal to grow in every area of your life, holistically, in ministry, in business, in your career, in your service for the kingdom of God, in your knowledge of Christ, in the dimensions of peace and power that you manifest. Receive it in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Praise God. Grow in grace. Child of God, grow in grace. If you grow in grace, you will reign in life. I tell you the truth, you will reign in life. The reason is because you are going to access higher and higher and higher levels of grace. That's why the apostles, no matter the persecution of the Roman Empire, of the Sanhedrin, of Judaism and its leaders, no matter the persecution, the Bible said they walked in victory. They said, these people that turned the world upside down, they have come here. Why was that so? Because they found great grace. Acts chapter 4 verse 33 said, with great power, the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, and great grace was upon them. The great grace they found generated great power, and that great power manifested in the triumphant life, no matter the rage of the wicked one. You will reign in life, but for that to happen, you must grow in grace. Let the journey begin in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Bye-bye.
Maker of heaven, Lord of the land, and Lord of the sea.